Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net, which has everything from a built-in player to hear each episode there, links to various podcast platforms where you can listen and subscribe / follow, logos to click on to follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Plus, the website has a bio about me and even an area called For Listeners, where you can submit prayer requests. Speaking of websites, I am amazed at how many cold call emails I get just trying to randomly get me to respond to someone who I don't know or trust, all in the name of them supposedly just wanting to help me get a better website. Funny enough, Merchantside Marketing Group is who built CatholicSportsRadio.net, and not only have they won awards for the websites that they have done, but they even have award-winning designers, and Merchantside Marketing Group lets you be as hands-on or off as you want to be with your website, which I'm sure would not be the case with these people I don't know who try to get my business through an email message. Merchantside Marketing Group includes maintenance in their custom-built website package, and they will even pay for licensed stock photography if you don't have photos of your own. Use one of their ads on CatholicSportsRadio.net to learn more about them and get in touch, and be sure to let them know that you heard about them on this show. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. These are unsettling times, even in the world of sports. The uneasiness around the National Hockey League announcing that they will not be sending players to the Winter Olympics next month in Beijing. Some nail-biting as football fans watch their favorite NFL team head towards the playoffs. The lockout that's going on in Major League Baseball. Heck, college basketball games that have gotten postponed. I even read about a top International Olympic Committee official who made a statement about next month's games that can only lend itself to a lot of folks in the Olympic movement really being restless. Meanwhile, we all try to carry on with some semblance of normalcy, but we too just multitask and divert our attention and get ourselves quite nervous, not being able to achieve the peace that our Heavenly Father wants for us. We search everywhere for solutions, but the first place we should look is in the Bible, where in the Old Testament, Psalms chapter 46, verse 11 says, "Be still and know that I am God." So friends, surrender yourself to the Father in the way that his son Jesus, as a baby, was utterly reliant on him for everything. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest was an Olympic silver and gold medalist at the 2004 Athens and 2008 Beijing Olympics and a three-time world rowing champion. She had won four NCAA national titles while rowing at the University of Washington and was inducted into the school's Hall of Fame as well as the National Rowing Hall of Fame. The highlight of her career came at the 2008 Summer Olympics in Beijing, where she was the only American woman to race in two events. In one of those, she and her teammates won gold, which was USA's first in that discipline since 1984, and the first time ever with a race distance of 2,000 meters. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Anna Cummins.
Thanks, Bruce. It's a pleasure to be here. I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. Yes, thank you. Thank you. We are just meeting for the first time, but it sounds to me like you are a lifelong resident of Washington State. Is that true? And also, what was the family size growing up? And talk about the presence of faith in the household you grew up in.
Yeah, I'm totally a born and raised Washingtonian, born in the greater Puget Sound area where like Microsoft and Boeing and Amazon reside. And have spent some time not in Washington, but am here again now. My parents both went to the University of Washington. From where I grew up, you could look out onto the, just out the view, and you could see the University of Washington from our house.
Wow.
And so the first school I went to was at the top of the hill. The next school was a little down. The high school was a little down. And then you cross the bridge and you're over at University of Washington. So I just kind of worked my way there throughout my life. And so went to the public schools, just up the hill and down the street And they were wonderful schools, really some of the best in the state. So had great education from there. And my mom was a teacher and my dad was in business. And they had two kids, my older brother, who's 3.5 years older than I, and myself. So that was our awesome family. Still is our awesome family.
And what about the presence of faith in the household that the four of you grew up in?
Oh, yeah. So growing up until about fourth grade, from what I can remember, we had, family came first and then school and then sports. Like that was like our total recipe. And as it is for a lot of people, I guess some people will throw sports at the top because they're so much fun and addictive. But that was our recipe. And around fourth grade, my dad, who had grown up in a Christian home, and my mom didn't grow up in a Christian home, but her parents were just very, very loving, great grandparents. They decided that our family needed something more. And at that point in time, started bringing us to church regularly on Sundays. So with a little church shopping, as people do, we ended up at a Presbyterian church in downtown Bellevue, which is really close to Seattle. And that's where we went, starting when I was in around fourth grade or so. And I do remember a specific conversation with my dad where I was like, why are we doing this? Why are we going to church? And why is this such a big deal? And he had me on his knee and he said, here's the deal. The new priority in our life goes God first, then family, then school, and then sports. And I was like, okay, you know, sounds good, Dad, not knowing anything. And I was at little youth group classes or the kid classes at church. And like, everybody's like Moses, Jesus, like they know all the like Bible stories, Abraham, Rebecca. I'm like, what? Like Chinese, you know, I didn't know what was going on.
Am I supposed to know these people?
In elementary school, I do remember a kid being like, are you Christian or Jewish? I'm like, I don't know. And they said like, well, do you celebrate Christmas? I'm like, yeah, who doesn't? And they're like, oh, you're Christian. I'm like, okay, cool. Well, glad to know that's what I am. So what was cool about faith growing up in my family is that I think my parents knew that our family needed something more, and which is so brilliant because we all need God so deeply. And it's the only thing that's going to fill so many holes in our life. But the way God moved is that he came in and he just swooped up my older brother. So my older brother was 3.5 years older than me. And I, was kind of figuring things out, going to Sunday school, what have you. But my brother, I could really see a change in his life. And he went from honestly being kind of mean to me to being like really nice. And I could tell he was like actively working on it. Wow. And I even snuck in his room one day and looked in his prayer journal. He was like praying for me. And I was like, what?
Wow.
What is this? So that got my attention to see someone just, Jesus just grabbed a hold of him. And my brother fell in love with Christ and has been a close follower of him ever since. And then I wasn't too far behind. And kind of the pivotal moment at church, I remember, was learning how perfect God was. Like, God is so perfect. Like, we have no business. Like, he's so good. He's so perfect that relationship had been broken by our sin, however great or small. And for me, being like a really good student, a good athlete, a good kid, like, why do I need Jesus? Like, why do I even need any of this? That really resonated with me. Like, I'm a good kid, but obviously not perfect. For goodness sakes, not even close, but a good kid. So like, who gets to draw the line? Who gets to decide, you know, being a good person is, that's what gets you to heaven, or that's what gets you a relationship with God? It's like, that's not enough, because who gets to be the one that draws that line? Like the Coldplay song. So that made a lot of sense to me. And when I knew that, okay, you need Jesus to be in a right relationship with God, like, I love it. I want it. Wow. That's what I want. Wow. I want that. Mm. And so from that point forward, obviously a lot of learning still to go. But that's what really got me. And so from about fourth grade moving forward, probably maybe fifth grade, sixth, I don't know. It's all kind of a blur.
Yeah.
Just learned more about who God was and how much he loved me, and been on the ride for sure ever since.
Well, and let's not leave out the short version that you gave us of your brother, and that's a great testimony to the power of prayer, because you found out that he was praying for you. It's a great witness to what a older sibling can do for his or her younger siblings. And so the example that he set, the role model in a roundabout way that he all of a sudden became for you, that's very powerful. And for those of you right now who are listening that have children that are at an age of influence like that, let that sit with you for a bit, just to see how much it changed Anna and the way that her brother was changed and where that went to. Moving on, Anna, I did not mention in the intro that in high school you earned 12 varsity letters. So you did mention where sports fell priority-wise in the family, but how and when did you get involved in sports, and what sports did you letter in, by the way? And I guess for that matter, how and when did you get started in rowing specifically?
Oh, yeah. Rowing, not till later, which is cool. That's God. We did. So my dad ran track for the University of Washington, and I'm a 1980 baby, and I'm kind of like the first generation where girls could do stuff. And so my dad got me into basketball, cross country, and track. And so those were kind of our family sports that we did.
Okay.
And I also, I would say, dabbled in like soccer and swimming. And honestly, I think my parents had us do sports because one, it is fun. And two, it keeps you out of trouble, makes you tired. You learn all kinds of awesome traits. But we were good at it, and it was really fun. And what I love about track that we had growing up was that it was something that our family did all together. We were on this neat track team, track and cross country team, where like the parents were the coaches and the people were just lovely. Some of the greatest, really, really wonderful people to be around. And so, you know, on Saturdays, that's what we did. Or you'd go to practice on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 3 o'clock, and mom coached the littles and my dad coached some, and you know, all the other people. So we could do there all together, and then you'd leave and go home together. So I really like that about track and cross country. And then basketball, you know, got to do some in the winter. So we hooped it up. And yeah, I won 4 varsity letters. And it was, again, back in the day where you didn't have to play basketball year round. And so, you know, made the varsity basketball team as a freshman, and track and cross country as well. And I'm tall and somewhat talented, not the best basketball player, which is what pushed me into rowing.
Well, I mentioned in the intro, and you said it yourself, that you did attend the University of Washington, but share with the audience about your housing on campus, as well as a group that you got involved with while you were going there.
Okay, yeah. So at the University of Washington, if anybody ever reads the book, The Boys in the Boat, The Boys in the Boat is kind of a Washington State history plus World War II plus the history of rowing, all wrapped into a really excellent novel. It's great. And that's a little bit the story of my life, but not as extreme and awesome as the book. And so I was a good track athlete. I was athletics was my, it was my identity, as I'm sure a lot of sports people have it. But what happened was, is that I wasn't good enough to get a track scholarship. Like, I visited the University of Washington and sent out letters to all these other schools, but honestly, nobody really wanted me because I wasn't fast enough to get into a D1, like, you know, a track program.
Gotcha.
So my brother was a state champion, his wife to be state champion in track and cross country, and my brother started at University of Nebraska and ended up at UW, same as his fiance. And so when I went to UW, I was going to go live at this Christian house. My brother was at the boys Christian house, and the girls Christian house was up the street, and I got to be roommates with my soon-to-be sister-in-law, which is awesome. So they were running there, and I could have walked on at the UW track team. I was good enough to like walk on, and if I worked hard enough and maybe lost 20 pounds, like then I could pull that off. But my cross country coach also said, hey, you should check out this rowing team. They always said, you know, rowers, they're always looking for tall people. And I was tall and fit and a team captain, and some of the characteristics that rowing teams look for. And so I visited, and as soon as I visited the rowing team at UW, I was like, these are my people. I was always the tallest runner. You know, I'm 6 feet tall, was around 170, 180 pounds. That is not like, doesn't say like I'm a miler, I'm an 800 meter runner. That says like, you need to row in a boat and go in the middle of the boat and push that boat where it needs to go. So I prayed with my discipleship leader from high school a lot, because to leave track and cross country and basketball, that we're a sure thing. Like, I'm good at this. I get a lot of accolades from this. You know, everybody knows me as the athlete, most athletic at high school, what have you. To drop that and try this random sport, yeah. I didn't even know. When you sit in the boat, you go backwards. Like, you face the start line, not the finish line. And you scoot the little seat, and it's a leg activity. It's not arms. It's mostly legs. And I didn't know any of this. So I went and I visited, but I met these girls that were tall, confident, beautiful, reigning national champions, as well as the men on the cover of the recruiting little brochure that they send were very attractive. So I said, that sport, I might want to try that. After some prayer, I decided to jump in. So I walked on at UW. So once, I rode at UW. You know, I'm in the Christian house, and I'm wanting to keep my faith because I am a follower of Jesus at that point. And so I found a small athletes group on campus called Athletes in Action. And so it was across all different sports, and AIA, as it's called, is all across the country, and lots of different campuses have an AIA group. And it's a non-denominational Christian group where you would, you know, have a Bible study in small groups by teams, and also like one big campus meeting with all the sports together. And that was a really neat way to stay strong in my faith and know that like, hey, it's still cool to follow Jesus. Like, this is a good recipe for your life, and it'll give a lot of meaning. And the best thing that I learned from being an Athletes in Action was, along with that identity piece, they have a little recipe in AIA about, and it's just scriptural. It means like, where do you get your identity from? The world gets, people in the world get their identity from what you do, plus what other people think is who you are. So like, Anna the rower, you know, goes to the Olympics, therefore I think she's awesome, so therefore Anna's awesome.
Yeah.
But God's recipe is, God made you, God loves you, and he determines who you are and what your worth is. And from that, you have this great and abundant freedom and life and thanks to then use that in your performance to then thank him and worship him. And I was like, I want that recipe. And so definitely use that moving forward.
Wonderful.
To help me be a great rower.
Yeah. Well, and he thinks you're awesome, whether you're a rower, whether you're on track, whether you are quote unquote just a sports fan, whether you have zero interest in sports. And we all know that, but it's organizations like the one that you described that help us remember those perspectives and not identify ourselves by, I'm an Olympic athlete, or I work in sports, or I'm a rabid Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan, or whatever the case might be. Somewhere in there, you said, I was a follower of Jesus at that point. And there are people who are saying, this is Catholic Sports Radio, and they haven't talked about anything Catholic. What's happening here? So when did you first have a meaningful encounter with the Catholic faith?
It took a while, and I'm sorry to say, but I hadn't met strong followers of God that had the Catholic faith in the circles that I was running in until I met this man, Bob Cummins, and he also rode at UW, and he was a friend of my friend, and I fell in love with that guy, and he loved Jesus, and he was Catholic, and that changed my life.
Wow. Okay. Well, more to come on that, I'm sure. You went to two Olympics, ironically, the same two Olympics that I was at, Athens and Beijing, where I was the chief press officer for the Olympic softball competition. And I wonder what you were or were not able to, quote unquote, fit in terms of your prayer life during those two competitions on the world stage.
Yeah. So if I had been Catholic, this would have been awesome, because there's these masses all over the world and you just drop in and you know what's going on. So awesome to the Catholic crowd. You guys have this figured out. Way to go, Church of Peter. But for me, so I had my Bible and I had my praise and worship music. And so when I was around Athens, Beijing, I would have my my rule of life kind of thing of, you know, you wake up and you do your devotional and you read these scriptures and you pray on these and you do these arrow prayers. And that was enough to keep my faith going. But when I would travel, it was really hard and very, very lonely because the Bible studies and things that I was in, they didn't come with me. And there wasn't as much social media or telephone calls and stuff back in the early 2000s. So it was a lot harder. And a lot of those Olympic times were actually quite lonely faith-wise. And so I'm really glad that I had what I did to hold me true to my faith when I'm sure there was a big battle going on, but that God just held on to me and held on tight. Praise the Lord.
But we have fast forwarded here all of a sudden that we're now talking about the 2008 Olympics. So somewhere in there, and listeners, it's not a coincidence that the Catholic rower that she met at UW was named Bob Cummins and that her name is Anna Cummins. So at some point in there, I'm missing that the two of you ended up getting married. I don't know what year that would have been.
Yeah, so we got married right before the 2008 games. We met in 2006. And he actually is a world champion rower and better than I am. And maybe you should interview him on your next interview because he's amazing, honestly. But I'm a little biased, obviously. And so we met in 2006. So I'd already won the silver medal and continued on in my training and really wanted to see what I could do if I could row better for the next 4 years. So we met when I was really focused on that, which is another testament to God because he... You know, as a lot of women athletes, you know, you are going down this path, but you also want to get married and hopefully have a family one day. Yeah. And being an athlete isn't really conducive to like dating and all that sort of thing. Yeah. So I had kind of given up on it. And then God sent me this wonderful man, like
naturally.
More than anything, of course he's going to do it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Wow. Well, and folks, Anna had to face some real decisions in both her sports and faith life, meaning making peace with retiring from rowing and the fact that she was now married to someone and yet they were both different faiths. And neither of those decisions had to have been easy to bring some closure to. Speaking of making a decision, I have resigned myself to the fact that I, again, am going to have to pass this year on submitting Catholic Sports Radio for consideration in the Catholic Media Association's annual Gabriel Awards. They do have a category specific to podcasts, and someone who is a guest on this show encouraged me to put Catholic Sports Radio forward as a nominee, so to speak, in air quotes. But unfortunately, there is a $150 entry fee, which I just honestly don't have. This is a ministry for me, and I don't get any income from doing it, nor do I have any sponsors. So any and all expenses related to Catholic Sports Radio do pose a challenge. If you've been listening for a bit now, you know that listeners and guests alike have contributed financially to this ministry, which definitely helps with the costs that I face since I otherwise have to try to find a way to cover them out of my own pocket. On last week's episode, I gave another specific example of an expense that came along with the start of the new year. Making a financial contribution, by the way, to Catholic Sports Radio is also an indication, though, that there is value being gained from what I'm doing, and it lets me know that folks are enjoying what I do and getting benefit from all that I put into this. Do please consider supporting my efforts with a one-time contribution. On CatholicSportsRadio.net, there is a Donate to CSR button that makes it fast and easy for you to contribute securely online in any amount you wish. There's no drop-down menu of amounts to choose from. You put in whatever you're comfortable with. Do please prayerfully consider what you can do for this ministry in terms of financial support to help me offset the various costs that I have detailed over a number of episodes of this show. Instead of doing it online electronically through the website, by the way, as some folks have opted to do instead, you can get in touch with me through the contact section of CatholicSportsRadio.net to ask for the mailing address, and I will personally write you back with details on where you can send a check. I will happily say on the air the name of anyone who contributes to this ministry, or as some have chosen to do, you can remain anonymous. I'm grateful to everyone who listens to the show and would most appreciate your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to use this ministry to bring more people closer to Christ. Anna, what about that? The 2008 Olympics in Beijing finish, and then you have to look at where you are in your sport, meaning in your rowing career. And you have to look at the state of the dual faith household that you and your husband were occupying.
Yeah. So rowing for me was always going to be done after 2008. Rowing is a little tough on the body. And honestly, you put your life on hold for some of these things. And so I'm really fortunate and blessed that I came out on top. The women that I raced with were amazing. I had the best coaches with the best teammates all around. And so that was, in a way, an easy stop, but a lot of athletes stop about. And then 2 years later, everybody always kind of gets the itch to like, oh, I should do this again. And I tried that and rolled my ankle and was busy with our chiropractic clinic that we started. And so it was like, oh, we're not doing that. But my husband was so sweet. He's like, you can if you want to, but this is what it's going to look like. And I was like, I don't think this is right. And God kind of closed that door really gently and nicely for me. But the dual faith household. So when I fell in love with Bob and he had this love for God, and in my mind, if my kids could be Catholic and if this is what Catholic looked like, then I'm all about that. And we talked about things that are like closed-handed items in faith and open-handed items in faith, and all of the like must-have closed-handed items to being a Christian are the same Catholic and Protestant, like who is Jesus, you know, God loves you, like a lot of these like really, really basic truths that are so beautiful and encompass all of the brothers and sisters in Christ. And so for years, then we did Catholic Mass on Sundays, and oftentimes also my home church, whatever that was, we do both. But when we brought children into the mix, it got a little harder. You're getting like little people ready to go to church, and then sitting them through two services is that's a lot. That's a lot. So eventually we moved to, I would always do my Bible studies, and those were usually on Tuesday. So we would do Mass on Sunday because that was like a requirement. Like you got to go to Mass on Sunday, and going to the Protestant church, you know, not to say like this counts, this doesn't count, but like the Eucharist and the Mass is different. The Catholic Church is the only one that has that. So I understood. My husband was like, I have to do things this way. And when we got married, I promised that I would raise the kids Catholic. So if anybody's wondering, like if a Protestant marries a Catholic, you don't just get to like make your own rules. Like you got to do it the Catholic Church way. And so we always did things the right way. And both of us said, hey, we just want the truth, and we're always going to be open to the truth and what that is and seeking for that. And so my husband always prayed for me to become Catholic, and I always prayed that he wouldn't be Catholic anymore. So, but only because I'm selfish. So,
well, yeah, keep going down that road. Share with the audience what took place last year in May, 2021, as well as, by the way, the connection to a past guest on the show.
Yeah. So in May, 2021, after 14 years of attending a Catholic Mass at some wonderful churches, you know, honestly, all over the U.S., God brought me into his home. And there's that Catholic Answers Live and Catholics Come Home, all that radio that I listened to a lot of that. And I was like, that's cheesy. I'm already home. I know God's home, but it really is. The Catholic Church is home. And that's where I fell in love all the way deeply with the Mass and what God does in the sacrifice of the Mass, and how beautiful it is that he comes to be with us and he gives us his flesh to eat, and that through that he transforms us to be completely new. And that's where my strength comes from, is from that. And so in 2021, this year, past guest Kristen Phillips, who played for the Seattle Storm basketball team, was my sponsor in coming into the church. And how cool is that? That's so cool that there was this other 6 foot plus tall person in church and it's like, you know, helping me be Catholic. So I call her and write her with questions and stuff like, what is this? You know, she's awesome. So she's a cradle Catholic, so she knows all the good stuff.
But what was the connection between the two of you? How did she come to be your sponsor?
So one day at church, my husband, I'm putting the kids in the car, and he's like, I just found you a friend. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, get this. And we had said a quick hi, but you know, I'm like, how many other professional athletes are like hanging out at the same church. And so we just started being friends at church. And this was only like 2 years ago. So I'm a newbie. Okay. I'm a new Catholic, but I kind of know what's going on because I've been going to Mass for 14 years. So, but I'm really excited.
But I think the audience needs to hear at this point, because you've heard Anna make a couple of references to, we're going to want to raise our children Catholic and getting kids ready for Mass and things like that. Talk about a busy household. I don't know how she found the time to record this episode with me today, because this is about the time I think the audience should hear about the children that you and your husband have.
Okay. Well, my parents, who, you know, helped bring me to faith in the Lord, are watching all six of my babies. So my oldest is 9 and a half, and we have Hope, Rose, Belle, Lucy, Maria, and Clara. And those are my beautiful babies. And again, I married a Catholic, so I figured out real quick what's natural family planning and what does the church believe? What are we doing? Why are we doing that? Okay. And so we didn't have babies for while I was rowing, and held off as we started our business. And then you flip that NFP around and ta-da!
And now all of a sudden you have six girls that are age 9 and a half and under.
Yes. So women's crew team is coming your way, but they're all going to row singles. So we don't have to get to an eight. We're good. We're just going to row singles. There's six singles. We're good.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. Well, since the start of COVID times, you have done something that amazingly takes place in that busy home of yours. Tell the audience what I'm referring to.
We, since the beginning of COVID times, so my Bible studies got canceled at the church that I was going to, and they were online, but I really love meeting in person. And so I live in this great neighborhood, and the neighborhood ladies, there's, you know, a couple Protestants and a couple Catholics, including one of my daughter's godmothers. And we would get together on one day of the week, and we would read scripture, and we would pray and talk about the scripture or go through a book together and pray some more. And it was a really beautiful way to keep God at the center through these crazy times. So finding just someone to pray with and read with was really beautiful. And I just thank God for my awesome neighborhood. They're great ladies.
And audience, this is where I tell you again, she has six girls that are age 9 and a half and younger, and yet she still chose to host a Bible study in her house. So that's just tremendous.
Now, none of this is perfect, right? Remember, we're not perfect. God's perfect. So while we're doing the Bible studies, there are screaming children, crying children. I mean, because they're unattended, right? So with all the other neighborhood kids. So, but we got it done. God did good things.
Well, but you still deserve a pat on the back, because it would have been very easy to use that as an excuse and say, oh, we can't do it here because the girls will be making noise and I'm not going to be able to give them or the Bible study group my undivided attention, but you still chose to do it anyway. So please receive my virtual pat on the back.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
In the lead up to today, you sent me four different Bible passages that you call your life verses. Can you share one or more of those?
Oh, I would love to. So I'll just pick one. So one is Isaiah 40, and this is one that when I was a baby Christian and athlete, I like anything in scripture that talks about winning stuff or running. So, winning crowns or any of that stuff. I just love it and eat it up. But of course, as we grow in faith, then God can speak to us in different ways through things. So Isaiah 40, I think, is great for athletes at all walks of life, because it starts with a run and it ends with a walk. And maybe there's a crawl in there sometimes, but it's all about who God is and how much he's in control. And so Isaiah 40, 28 through 31 goes, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint." Amen.
Amen. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. a fitting way to close the show, too, even though I'm going to do another prayer of my own, as we usually do. But first, Anna, my gosh, so wonderful to meet you. Thank you for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and your family.
God bless you and all the listeners. To God be the glory.
Thank you. And for the audience, I thought it would be appropriate as a nod to all of Anna's years in rowing, not to mention the other sports that she talked about that she did earlier on, if we close with a prayer for athletes. And we'll do this, of course, together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, God, for giving me life and talents for my participation in sports. Help me to play well, to use my powers to the full, to see them as gifts from you. Be with me when I need to play hurt, when I have to deal with the pain of injury, disappointment, loss. Keep me aware of the brotherhood, the sisterhood that I have with all athletes, even when they are opponents. Free me from the temptation to fake, to foul, to cheat. I need to see that dedication to the cause will mean suffering, but let me know that it is the kind of suffering that leads to new life and greater maturity. Help me play with heart and never lose heart. Most of all, help me never to quit in my efforts to be open to you, for I believe your full coming into my life is the way to real life in all I do. I believe it is the way of my becoming the truly human person you destined me to be. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose. We'll be right back.